Many Christians have lost their faith. That's why. Why have they lost their faith? They're not using it properly. This is how you see how we have taken the silver and gold of God and misused it. We gather in church, and I keep on saying this thing. We pastors stand in front and be telling people, God in heaven, have mercy. All our problems, we worship our problems morning till night. All we are doing with our seed is, this year I must do this. This year I must do this. And we stand there, put a basket down there. Oh God, don't kill us yet. No, not yet. Give us one more year to repent. Just one more. Because God gives it. No, it doesn't wait forever. When I'm talking about the recipe for long life, I'll talk about it. God doesn't wait forever. After a certain period, he starts harvesting people. Yeah. Why did I laugh? We take what is bad, make it into a trade. We take Christians, we pastors, we are the guilty ones. I'm talking to us. Bring that your offering, put your need inside it, seal it together, and drop it on the altar. Hear ye the word of the Lord, it is iniquity. If you're an honest pastor, you were doing it, please stop it after today. You've heard it now, you did not know. You are making Christians worship their needs. You can't take your needs, journey with money in an envelope, and see you are dropping on your altar. That's not Christianity. That's witchcraft. Said, they've healed the heart of the daughters of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's why the church has not moved forward. That's why we are afraid of Islam advancing. We're all campaigning. Don't vote, otherwise you wear hijab. When you won't teach the truth. I feel like throwing the challenge down for you just to let you know the word of God. Take the next 1 month or two, if you are listening to me, and say, that thing that I've been praying about, for the next 2 months, I will not say anything to the Lord about it. If it crosses my mind, I will just give him thanks and leave it. If it crosses my mind. My prayer henceforth is going to be for my country, the church of God, for my friends, my relatives, that they may know. Now, when we finish school of prayer we are doing, I'll start a new one titled, How to Pray for Your Loved Ones. That they may come to the knowledge of truth, that the gospel will advance. When I want to pray for my business, I focus on how the business will increase so as to be a blessing to people. It's going to be my focus. Do that for 2 months. It's just a small test so that you know what we are saying is true. Do it for 2 months and watch God work in your life. Why? Because it's the word of God. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added. What is lacking in our lives to the degree that we are not seeking what is right? God said, they have taken my silver, my gold, my faith that I'm teaching them, and patience. When the word of faith came out, God began to teach the word of faith, you know, to the people of God. And then, of course, some of us came along the line, began to learn. That was many years ago, almost 30 years now. People use the word of faith for all kinds of things. That's what we're talking about. Small boy is leaving school. He's using faith to claim a Mercedes Benz. Mercedes Benz, is it good or bad? Please, good or bad? Thank you. But is that the most important thing in his life? If you follow me on Twitter, I tweeted something today. I said, the faith that cannot help you walk above sin cannot overcome the devil. Is your faith working? Use it to overcome sin. You know it's working. The faith that cannot conquer sin cannot conquer Satan. That's faith 101. If that faith cannot conquer sin, it cannot conquer Satan. I said, God gave us silver and gold to nourish our relationship, our marriage relationship with him. Which means, therefore, when I take my faith, it is not first to use it to satisfy my worldliness. It is to claim myself of all defilement. Like I keep on saying, if you're a young man, young woman, you want to start, you're just leaving school, you want to start believing God for things. Don't start believing God for a car. Start believing God to be able to walk like Paul. That whether I have or I don't have, I'm the same. First, exercise your faith to walk into the place where everybody has something and you don't have it, and you are yet full of joy. That's the first thing your faith should do for you. Use your faith to dance well when your friends are getting married. Yes. And I don't mean just they say we should dance. So. No. I mean I'm joyful. I'm glad that God has done it for this person. That's what I'm talking about. God said they took my faith and my silver. They used it wrongly. This was what we did with faith. We used faith to service our carnality. Today I went for Angela's wedding. I started believing God that my wedding will be bigger than that. What we are doing when we use faith like that is that we are turning the scripture upside down. The Lord Jesus said something to us clearly, and we seem to forget that he did. You know, sometimes in Christianity these days, we behave as if some things were not said. There's one we do a lot. I just like to drop things here and there to help us as we go on. Jesus said something clearly. When you are giving, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. But we keep on pretending as if he never said it. So what we do in churches is, if you are giving 1 million naira, come forward. There can be situations in which, listen, this is a matter of fact. There may be situations in which such things end up being expedient. But it's supposed to be rare. If you have a straight commandment that says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, then why do we now make it look as if it was never said? Almost every church you go to, when they want to raise money, if you are giving 1 million, come forward. If you are giving 500,000, stay on this side. You know, we pretend as if Jesus never said anything about it. And pastor, sometimes we know God have mercy on us. You know, I keep on saying it. We need the mercy. If a man gives money, we announce it. All right, Brother Chinedu sent in an offering as 700,000. Let's clap for him. Thereby removing half of his reward from God. We just, no. We just do as if the Lord didn't see anything. Like this love your enemies thing. We build denominations on how powerful we are in killing enemies. As if Jesus never said, love your enemies. And he said to them, to concern the enemies, pray for them. If they are doing you bad, pray for them. Sorry, is my Bible different from yours? I can see it on your face. Even you are surprised. You suddenly you are remembering that, yeah, it's actually there. Like I say all the time, we abuse the Holy Spirit. You know what I call abuse? We misuse the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost fire upon our enemies. When the Bible says clearly, the fire of the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were waiting in the upper room so that they might be endued with power from on high. Then we turn around and take the same Holy Ghost fire and send it to our enemies. We behave as if the Lord didn't see anything about these things. When it comes to our needs, Nko, yes, the Lord also says something. He said, don't worry about these things, that this is how Gentiles pray, that people that have God as their father, this is never their preoccupation. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? Which house is my own? Which car will I buy? He said, it's never their preoccupation. He said, after these things, the Gentiles do what? Seek. Did he say that we shouldn't have them? He said, no. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And every single one of these things that the Gentiles seek, they will be added to us. No, we do behave like it as if he never said it. So we camp at the altar of our needs. Day in, day out, and the more we seek those things, the farther they seem to be from us. I'm analyzing what God meant when he said we took his gold and his silver. We use these things to build altars. We use these things to build idols. We started worshiping at fake altars. So when a man builds a house, suddenly he has succeeded. Like I said to you the other week, it could be the sign of failure. I told you I heard a prophet say something once. Somebody reported what he said to me. A man who builds a large denomination, the prophet looked the day he started the church. He said, this day the man missed the will of God for his life. Yet he built a big church. I hope you are getting my point. So we look at it. Okay, he has built a big house. He said, oh, he is doing well. And this, God says, is the very proof that he has missed the assignment I have for his life. This is the proof. Why do we think it's a great thing? Simply because we are carnal, we are confused, we are worldly, and we have taken his gold, and we are worshipping those things. My wife went to a church once. She told me something. All the celebration there is that, oh, he has not gotten a visa. Praise the Lord, she's not going abroad. Everything, celebration is visa abroad, visa abroad, visa abroad. Why do we worship such things? Because we actually think it's a sign of promotion. Let me just tell you, the way the world is today, there is no advantage to the man who lives in America, lives in UK, lives in Nigeria. There's totally no advantage. They are just there. Every once in a while, I meet people who, they will laugh at people who are going abroad and say, this one, where are they going to? What are they looking for? And people are talking, they have lived here, they've lived there, they are back home. They just said, listen, now this is a summary of it. Anywhere you want to live, just make sure God is with you. Otherwise, frustration is waiting for you every corner. But yet, we put those things up there as a sign that somebody has succeeded. It becomes our testimony. I've seen people look at this going abroad thing. People, I told you, God does things different ways. There are people that God's good plan for their life is leave this country, go to another one. It happens like that once in a while. Then people turn that into an idol. Then they start worshiping it. And as they are worshiping those idols, their lives start getting confused. And every once in a while, you see people who just messed up their lives because they had an idol in their heads. I've seen young women who leave school, law students, the ones I have in mind, law students, engineering students, things like that, who opportunity to go to America, boom, they go there. 8 years later, they don't have a degree, they don't have anything. They are still perambulating, just living from hand to mouth. I look at the fellow and say, if only you had waited 3 more years, finish this school. Now we're talking about natural play now. It gives you an advantage wherever you go to in life. No, they don't bother. Why? There's an idol somebody lifted before them, and they were using their faith to call it to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ, next year I shall be in America. Idolatry. What did I call it? Idolatry. The Bible says, only in the Lord are righteousness and what? And strength. Every other thing that people rely upon, we fail. Every other thing that people rely upon, we fail. We're talking about faith. The faith that God has given us, what do we now do with it? That's a mistake we have made. We have used this faith to worship idols. A young man will use faith to buy a car. He has never given his father a gift that the man will beat his chest and say, yes, this is my son. Let me bless him. You need faith to trek. Are you getting my point? Use your faith to trek. The first job your faith should do for you is make you trek with confidence. You stand beside the road wearing your white, garb, and one man will go pow on a rainy day and splash mud all over you. You need faith not to do waka. The normal response is what? This is Nigeria. Waka shige. You do like this, Father, I worship you. That is your faith. That is what. Look, listen, this is how we get spiritual power. You understand my point? This is how you get spiritual power. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. I was saying something to you earlier. Many of the things we practice is witchcraft. It's spiritual manipulation of God. And let me say something to you. The fact that you got it from God doesn't mean to be a blessing to you. There was a time, don't forget, Israel harassed God. And they got food that God did not plan for them. What God gave them was manna. Eat this manna and be satisfied. Listen to what manna was supposed to do for them. This will surprise you. Manna was supposed to give them strength to face the giants. They didn't eat the manna with joy. They grumbled. They wanted all kinds of food. Finally, they got the food. It weakened their ability to succeed in life. Many people have bought cars and started businesses or built houses. That is the reason why they don't sleep well again. Those days, one of my friends, he said that those early days, just finished NYC, we're working in Lagos. He said, notice that anytime his car is bad and he keeps it there, he's buoyant, he has money. That once he let me put this car back on the road, he's always broke. What happened? The car was driving him. He was not the one driving the car. Yes. Listen, it's not the fact that, and you could have prayed until God gave you that car. The only gift from God that blesses you is the one that you used real faith to get. What I mean by real faith now, not this witchcraft faith we use. The only one that blesses you is the one that real faith got for you. What is real faith? Faith first tells you, whether I have a car or not, I'm a man. Whether my wedding is lavish or not, I will still be a good wife. You know, some women, you know the reason why they never agree to marry some men? They have made up their mind, their honeymoon will be in France. Honeymoon will be in France. Why? Because they had a classmate in university who married one bobo that either he had money or his father had money. Or something happened, or he won jackpot, or something, or he bought something in ShopRite and the price, and since that time, the girl has not slept. My honeymoon must be in France. Listen, even if your own honeymoon is not in France, your daughter's honeymoon can be in France. Somebody say amen now.
Amen.
That one is good enough. It's good enough. May your child chop the... May they chop on your behalf. Are you getting my point? After all, you know what I noticed about France or England or wherever you go, America? The bed is the same size. The food does not taste better. All of these things is... You know, I said something earlier. Be careful that you really make up your mind what you call enjoyment. You know, enjoyment is inside your soul. It's not outside. It's not outside. It's inside your soul. It's not outside, though. My wife used to laugh at me when we first married. Why? Because I was in Lagos. I didn't know any of the beaches in Lagos was. People, they go beach to go and do what? I don't believe in swimming. It's against my religion. In my church, we don't swim. What is my reason? I have a friend. He and I will deceive ourselves. You know, I would say, those that fear the Lord speak often one to another. So those that fear the water speak often one to another. You know, we don't like water. So we say, listen, if God wanted us to swim, he would have given us gills and fins. Since he did not do any of the above, it cannot be the will of God that we should be swimming. So me and him, we keep away from water. And I add a spiritual twist to it, that even Jesus, when he saw water, he walked on it. He didn't dive into it. That my only relationship, now all of this self-deception, I hope it is deception. I'm just deceiving myself. Oh, I can do all things, amen?
Amen?
Yes, I can swim if I have to, in Jesus' name, amen. Uh-huh. All right, now the point I'm making is this. This is when I was in Lagos, of course. One day, a friend of mine came and dragged me out by force. This boy, you're always inside the house. Come, let's go somewhere. It was a public holiday. I think it was Easter, something like that. Dragged me to his car. He had two friends with him, a guy and a lady. So making four, how many of us now? Four of us, yes. So we now drove. Got to the beach. What he did not know as we were leaving, I took my red New American Standard Bible and put it... I'm not joking. I carried my Bible with me. So when we got to the beach, finally we got to one beach. We parked somewhere. So what are we going to do now? Ah, no beach now, you know. So he and that girl went one way. That guy went the other way. I looked to my left, looked to my right. I saw a shed somewhere. You know, sat under it, brought up my Bible, put it in the sand, and sat down there. I was reading Isaiah chapter 50-something. I finished reading. I didn't get up. I sat there read my Bible until they were ready to go. Are we ready to go? Yes. And good thing I was one that now drove, you know, that day. So I got the key, went out the car again, took the car and went back home. And I was as happy could be. Enjoyment is inside your soul. It's not outside. It's what you make up your mind to make you glad. Some people like to test food, all kinds of food. Like my wife does. Israel's wife does. My own is that it's risky. If I can't identify it, especially if I can't pronounce it, two things put together, I'm not eating. Just leave me alone. I sit down with what I recognize. What am I going to say? Is it good or bad? No. Enjoyment is just inside you. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
And Jesus said, my satisfaction is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Let me tell you something about faith again. Maybe the next time I'll come talking about what faith is supposed to do, because that's one important thing. We're talking about the kingdom life. Don't forget. This is what it means to be a Christian. Let me just forget to explain what I'm going to explain. That's what it means to be a Christian. You have a different standard, a different way of doing things. That's what I'm going to explain. You have a different way of looking at things in life. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let your faith change the way you reason. That's what I'm trying to explain. God said, they took my faith and my patience. They will put the picture of a cow on the wall and be declaring upon it for 6 months. That's called patience. But the man has never put his addiction to bad things on the wall and declare, say, in the name of Jesus, pornography, you will not have me. He hasn't done it. He has not said, maybe a man offended him. They did a business together, invested money. He brought 3 million naira, that guy brought 2 million naira. He was supposed to have 60%. The day finally saw the papers, he had only 10%. That guy had 50%. His brother had 25%. His mother had 25%. Then 10% was for one uncle he had never seen. He that brought the majority of the money had only 10%. After that, they took the company and ran away. Faith, take the man's picture, put it on the wall, and say, Ngozi, I know some men are called Ngozi, so don't think I'm confused. Because, you know, I had to use the word Ngozi, maybe a prophetic thing, now you never can tell, you know. You put the picture on the wall, say, Ngozi, I forgive you. Say this picture, you won't come down until I'm happy to see the photo. That's what faith is supposed to do. But what do? We put the picture of motor car in the name of Jesus. I claim it. After 6 months, you will claim it. After 7 months, they will steal it. Yes. You claimed it from God doesn't mean a thief cannot collect it. Put the picture of the man that offended you there and say, you want to put bitterness in my soul? I will not agree. I have to cleanse my heart. I have to purify my heart. This heart is going to carry the power of God. This heart is going to bring important inventions from heaven. It cannot allow bitterness. So I put your picture there. In Jesus' name, I bless you. It shall be well with you. I forgive you. May God have mercy upon you. May you come to know Jesus Christ. Everything. Look, I forgive you totally. Use your faith. Say that until your faith talks to you, back to you. You understand? Your faith speaks and say, look, you are forgiving him. Why are you wasting time? Now, oh, I forgive this guy. Yes. The words are bouncing back to you. But what do we do in modern day Christianity? We carry it to church. Pastor, this is the man. Is that the enemy? That's what we be. Look, that's how we behave. We Christians. The pastor comes, this is the enemy. Yes. Holy Ghost fire. He will die. Am I lying? Don't you go to churches? Don't you see them on TV? And we come and start bragging on it. I will use one offering to kill two people. I've heard this one before. You people are laughing. These are things that I've heard. I don't mean from. I sat in the church, and the man was preaching. I used one offering and killed my uncle. Of course. So I sowed the Mercedes-Benz. He was sacrificing cow. I sowed the seed of a Mercedes-Benz, and he died. Let me tell you something. When your enemy dies, so-called enemies, don't rejoice. There's nothing to brag about on it. What are you bragging about? That a human being died. Jeremiah prophesied, thus says the Lord, a man collapsed and died. He ran home and said, God, what are you doing? Direct prophecy. Fulfilling the word of God, yet he felt bad about it. When Saul died, David did not rejoice. There's nobody that has hated you the way Saul hated David. Yet David did not rejoice. What are you rejoicing about? Because one human being died. I told you before, when our head of state died, General Sani Abacha died, I refused to rejoice. If anything, I lamented for him. God is not happy when any soul perishes. Why do you want to pretend as if he's happy? No, he is not. Please, I'm explaining something to you. This is your preoccupation with enemies. It's why your own problems are waiting in front. Because he that doesn't show mercy will not obtain any mercy. I listened to Pastor Kwaju once preach on the principle of intercession. My dear sister Mumia said that's one of the most powerful messages she ever heard. Said the man said, listen, why innocency and faithfulness was found in Daniel was not because he never did anything wrong. It was because he was a man of mercy that always showed mercy to people. Therefore, he was always interceding for people. And that you saw it in the way he lived his life for Israel. And because he was a man full of intercession, God only could show him mercy. And when God is showing you mercy, all they will find in you is innocency and faithfulness. But we Christians are full of vengeance, full of anger. Want to kill all our neighbors. Why? Because your son didn't pass an exam. And one joker who claims he's a prophet says because one neighbor doesn't want your son to succeed. And you believe it. Ignoramus, you believe it. I keep on saying, why should a witch have power over your children? It shows you're a useless parent. I'll say it again. You're a useless parent. If a witch can have power over your children, you are an irresponsible parent. You are a sinner. I told you before, I'm not a nice pastor. Did I beg you to come here? I tell the truth. Not looking for your offering. It's true. Some things we should be ashamed of. They come and say, the witch has confessed. I say, the witch has confessed that you are a sinner. You see, Christian telling you that witch confessed. I've always been sick. You know, we're sick in there. After that, all night, I began to pray. And I was praying. And I was praying. And then the pastor now said, we should sow a dangerous seed. So I brought my seed. As I was putting down, as anybody behind my sickness, Holy Ghost fire. Next morning, the woman began to confess in the house. You're a liar. One unfortunate, mentally ill person. It's true. Many of these women, the village, as they confess, they have mental illness. They are looking for attention. If you have been lonely, nobody has touched in a while, beating will be happy. You'll be happy to be beaten. You understand? You've been lonely. Nobody has shaken your hand, giving you a hug, giving you a kiss. After a while, you will do something so that somebody will slap you. I say, at least human touch. I'm not like, listen. you don't know human psychology. See, this boy that killed 150 people, 29-year-old pilot in Germany, do you know why he did it? He said he wanted to be famous. He told his girlfriend ahead that one day my name will be known all over the world. So now, I'm in Nigeria talking about the Joker. That was what he wanted. Some people are in villages confessing that they are witches so that at least somebody will know that I'm here. My children have not sent me money in the last 3 years. I'm an old woman in the village. I beg, I'm a witch. I'm telling you the truth. And Christians will be believing, oh my Father in heaven. They'll be believing it. Remember I said Christians. What did I say? I am not talking about unbelievers. So. If you are an unbeliever, if a witch removes your eye to fry egg in the morning, you are in the same company. So this is your problem. If the woman wants, if the witch says that, okay, you want to do fried rice in the afternoon and it needs liver, and it's your liver, they collect. That one, do you understand? I'm not it. If you say you won't do kidney suya, like your kidney, you are an unbeliever, so they can be doing that. You get my point? What's that? Is it Unkwabi? You carry your head. Change. Honestly, I don't have a problem. That's an unbeliever. Amen? Amen? But for Christians, that's what I'm talking about. A Christian, that's what I'm talking about. If indeed you have believed, listen to the word of God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Give me an amen.
Amen.
There is no enchantment possible against you. Give me an amen.
Amen.
No divination works against you. Give me another amen.
Amen.
That's what it means to be a Christian. That is why we will never open our mouth and be telling somebody that a witch is afflicting my child. I've told you before, any witch that wants to die early, give them my home address. They will jump the fence. And if they survive, they are not witches. They are just thieves. And I keep on telling the story of the witch that visited me. Remember my witch? Many of you don't know the witch. Yes, the bat that entered my bedroom without any explanation. The AC was on, the windows were closed, everything, yet the bat entered. Very good recipe for an African to say is a witch. But for me, in my bedroom, you're not a witch, you're a visitor. You're not a witch, you came to visit. Can you go now? And that's what happened. Open the door. Hey, bat, hey, get out. Throw this thing outside. Say, it's not a witch like me. Witch, you can't enter my bedroom. You smoke something, it's not possible. Only witches that want to give their life to Christ come there. Say, Pastor, hey, yeah, Pastor Beck. I'm not doing witching again. But for me to open my mouth and say my child was sick and the witch was responsible, God will put me out of ministry that day. They will come here and they say the door has closed. Israel has gone. Palace is not here again. Olayinka has gone back to Ibadan. Say, Dejiku, he now works in Anamco. That is, everything has closed. Nobody's there again. Say, why? Pastor opened his mouth and said the sickness of his child was caused by a witch. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's the point I've made? That we take our gold, that is our faith, and silver, which is patience, we use it on wrong things. What should our faith be used for? Building our relationship with our Father God, with our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's what our faith is supposed to be used for. That's what our faith is supposed to be used for. If we use it wrongly, we are disobeying God. We are building idols. We cannot make our needs into idols and be focusing our faith on them. Jesus said something and he meant it. Your needs must never be your preoccupation in prayer. Never. So what if I have a problem? Mention it once to him in prayer. After that, it becomes a matter of thanksgiving. Because Paul said like that in Philippians chapter 4. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. He said, then the peace of God that passes all understanding will mount garrison, a guard around your heart and your soul. That's what's going to happen to you. Do you get my point? Listen, after that, what do you use your faith for? Say, listen, God said, if anything is lacking in my life, let me just drop it for 2 minutes and then I'll close, all right? 2-3 minutes. If anything is lacking in your life, it's because you're not seeking the right thing. Let me say it again. If anything is lacking in your life, it is because you are not seeking the right thing. Because it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. So if anything is lacking in your life, you simply say, Lord, what is it that I need to seek? What is it that I need to seek? The other day, I was listening to Pastor Efebuke. He said, got to a point, his wife began to intercede for other people. And that was why when breakthrough came into their home. So God was saying, you need, just take your eyes off certain things in your life. What should I be seeking? So people have been looking for work. God says, listen, your problem is that you've been so focused on when you will get work. What kind of suit you are going to wear? That's why I have not been able to give you anything. But look at it and say, Lord, this is my gift. Will it die like this? I need to be out there blessing somebody with it. Once you start focusing on somebody else, that's it. Breakthrough comes into your life. Sometimes it's not even directly related to that. God just says, listen, I want you to learn, like I was saying, the thing I was telling you earlier, I want you to learn patience. I want you to be insulted and you don't answer. They're talking about business breakthrough. And God said, all you need is what? Patience. So use your faith to learn patience. Take some scriptures. When I'm slapped on the left, I turn the right. When I slap on the left, you wake up every morning, you are declaring, every slap on my right, I turn the left cheek. Every slap on the left cheek, I turn the right cheek. In the name of Jesus. If they say to me, go 1 mile, I will go 2 miles. Because these are the things that Jesus said. Oh, Father God, I thank you. If they take my coat, they can have my shirt. In the name of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not going to court. No. In the name of Jesus, I would rather be oppressed than disobey the word of God. You know, you'll be they know you for market before. See, that boy, no, they take nonsense. Oh. Because that's the reason why you will never prosper. This, I know they take nonsense. Is what Satan will use to lock you down. Say, Lord, what shall I do? Take nonsense now. What else are you talking about? Start taking nonsense. God said, go and make a list of all your debtors. You make a list of them. And God said, the first 10, don't collect the money back again. See, God, I wrote in the list, you know, according to the size of the money they are owing. Hey, God, if I had known, I for right hand the other way. He said, God says, yes. And you're like, what? The first 10, Papa God, please. Total it now. The total it comes to 1.65 million. Yeah. Father. Okay, Lord, let's do it like this. I collect it, I give you half. You say, lie. I want to teach you a lesson. I'm not saying collecting your debt back is wrong, but you. Listen to me. Let me tell you about something about the word of God. Don't be hasty to obey it. What should you be hasty to do? Pray about it. Take that word and go and pray. Christians want to go and like, okay. When you reach halfway, when you see the first Roman soldier about to drag you to the cross, you know you will run back. What do you do? Just take that prayer. Say, just take the list and go to God. Father God, if it was possible, I want to collect my money. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You leave it there, go and eat. Next day you come back, Lord, if it was possible, I want to collect my money. But nevertheless, not your will, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. I receive patience. It is those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. They are the ones I'm following. So I have faith. You do that for a week. At the end of the second week, they offer you the money, you don't want it again. And you know what they call temptation? Somebody say temptation. The man owing the biggest will just suddenly call you. Alagba. Sorry, I was out of town. I just felt like giving you your money now. You say, sir, the Lord said I shouldn't collect. What do you mean? No, I'm willing to pay. The Lord said I shouldn't collect. But I must give you your money, sir. Go and give it to charity. If you get to a point, you say you won't want the money. Why? Because you use your faith. That's my emphasis. It is the use of your what? Faith. That's my emphasis. That is what God wants us to do with his gold and his silver. So that we can shine indeed like his bride. I hope you get my point today. All right, let's just bow down here and begin to give the Lord thanks. If you were enlightened by that word, thank him. Say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. I will not misuse your gold. I will not misuse your silver. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right. I just want to pray a prayer for you direct from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20. I believe it was Paul that wrote it. He said, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will in the name of Jesus Christ. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him in the name of Jesus. Amen. He will cause your path to shine in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I say it once again, no evil will befall you. Amen. And no plague will come near your dwelling place. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I pronounce blessing upon this your week. Amen. Goodness will fill it for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Favor will fill it for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every affliction is turned away from you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Perfect healing for your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As you travel, you will be safe. Amen. As you return, you will be safe. Amen. I say one more time, no evil will befall you. Amen. and no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This country is on its path to greater prosperity.
Amen.
And you will partake of it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship.
Because
of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death.